Hi everybody, well, here goes on my second tape. I've got a few minutes finally, and so I'm going to try and tell you what I've been doing for the last couple of weeks now. Well, I believe I left off with my last tape when I left down at Bentuy, and I flew up with Tom Shutt in an AC-47 up to Natrang, which is where my headquarters is, and this happens to be the headquarters for out of two corps. A force called IFFV, which means First Field Forces in Vietnam, is also located there, so there's a lot of big brass around this particular area. I was very surprised, and I might say pleased, to get when I came in on the train. It's a very nice area comparatively to the rest of Vietnam. The city of Nha Trang is about the same size as Can Tho down in the Delta, and it was formerly a French resort area. There are many nice French-type architectural homes located in this area, and some of the more well-to-do Vietnamese, and that's not too well-to-do, but well-to-do by their standards, live in this area also. There's many miles of very nice beach, and the runway runs right up to the end of the beach. I described in a letter to Joe and the folks, and told you a little bit about the beach and this area. This is one of the highlights of the area. The Air Force and Army has gone together and made a little area there that's reserved only for their personnel. It's fenced off with concertina wire, and makes it look kind of strange because I've never seen a resort area surrounded by concertina wire, but it does make it nice so that the kids don't come stealing your money and stuff and say that you turn your back. As I mentioned, stealing is very prevalent over here, and they seem to just take it for granted that anything that's left laying around is open to be taken. So we have to be pretty careful with everything. The base at Nha Trang is also pretty nice. Our facilities are a little better than most, although not really any better than down at Bentuy, I wouldn't say. They're doing a lot of building, just as at all the bases in Vietnam. Constructing new runways, taxiways, major buildings, and to take care of personnel and all the stuff that goes along with running an army. While I stayed in Nha Trang, which was a period of about 4 to 5 days, I went through the usual paper shuffle, checking in with the 21st TAS, which is my unit. And this means that the Tactical Air Support Squadron, and this is the unit that we belong to in the overall setup over here, under the 504th Tactical Air Support Group, which handles all the facts in Vietnam. I picked up all my equipment here, including 4 sets of jungle fatigues, which are really nice, by the way, very light, and they seem to stand up pretty well. And picked up my rifle and my pistol and my flak vest. The flak vest, incidentally, if you remember seeing any World War II movies, those big heavy things the pilots wore, well, we're wearing approximately the same thing, and they're just about as heavy, too. They're very warm, very uncomfortable, but they're also nice to have around because they'll stop light. They will actually stop most light aircraft, anti-aircraft type fire that we would receive from 1,500 feet or below. So they're a necessary part of our equipment. And several other things, canteen and sort of things I need to live with the Army in the field. I managed to get a little spare time, so I hit the beach for a couple days and also saw a lot of old friends around in the Trang Officers Club, which is not too bad. So it was a fairly pleasant 3 or 4 days there. Well, I lived it up while I could, and then on last Saturday morning, I hopped on a C-123, which brought me up to the runway is called Can Duong. If you look on your Vietnam map, you'll notice where the town is actually spelled K-H-A-N-H-D-U-O-N-G. And that's pronounced Duong. A D is a Z over here if it's got the right little marks over it. Anyway, we came in here about 9 o'clock last Saturday morning, and I was immediately met by my supervisor, Major Hicks, who is the ALAR, Air Liaison Officer to the Army here. And he took me on a tour around the area and introduced me to all the other facts and personnel that I would be working with, such as intelligence and operations. And I got a check out of the local area, and then Sunday I started flying in earnest. Over here, there really isn't any such thing as Saturday or Sunday. We don't even think about days. In fact, I'm not even sure what it is today. I think it's Thursday. And if you don't have a watch with a date and a day on it, well, you just lose complete track altogether. You've noticed by my return address that my address is HHC, and you're probably wondering what that means. Well, that stands for Headquarters and Headquarters Company, which is Army lingo. And that's where our mail comes, to the Brigade Headquarters. This outfit I'm assigned to is the 1st Brigade of the 101st Airborne Division. There are other brigades back in the States, but this is the only brigade that's over here in Vietnam right now. They're called the Screaming Eagles, and they're a real proud outfit, and one of the, supposedly, the crack Army outfits, the very best that they have. In fact, to show you just how good they are, the last time the Vietnamese ran up against these guys and tried to run a standing battle, it was back about 6 months ago, at a place I think was called Dong Tao or something like that. And the airborne just gave them a real sound thrashing, and they haven't been able to get the Vietnamese to stand up and fight to them ever since. We've been chasing them around in the back into the jungle and everything, but they won't stand up and fight these guys. They're a real bunch of tigers, and they really go after them with a vengeance. I'm assigned specifically to the 502nd Battalion, and they, in Army talk, they call it the 2nd 502 Deuce. There's also a 1st 502 Deuce back in the States, so we're called the 2nd 502 Deuce, and that's the outfit I'm, the battalion, which is sort of like a squadron in the Air Force. Confused? I was too for a while, but it's really not so bad. They have platoons, like we have flights, and then they have battalions where we have squadrons. And there are 3 battalions in the brigade, and a brigade would be sort of like a group in the Air Force. The brigade commander is a Brigadier General Matheson, and he's a real fine troop. I met him the other day, and he's a real old war horse from the good old days in World War II, and has a lot of interesting stories to tell. And he runs a real proud outfit here. My living conditions are about what I expected them. In fact, I'd say, if anything, they're a little better than I expected, since I was fully expecting to be living in the fairly primitive conditions. And so the Army is surprisingly becoming pretty sophisticated, even out here in the field. I'll give you a few examples. I have my own personal tent, and I'm living down here with the battalion, and I have a fairly large tent, actually, to be given all to myself. And I have a little table here, and I'm sitting here in a folding chair, and I've got a cot, just like your old Army cots that we have back in the States there, and an air mattress, and I've scrounged up some sheets and pillowcases. The Army doesn't know what sheets are yet, but I managed to get some. I've got in cahoots with the supply sergeant already, and he's helping me out. That's the first thing you gotta do around here, is start knowing the supply people so you can scrounge. And then, let's see, I've got some floor mats here that the guy that gave me, I took his place, the fact whose place I took, he let me have them, and he also sold me a gas lantern, which comes in real handy. Although, just today, I finally got an electric light in here. How about that? We've got electricity out here. We have little gas generators we run every night, and we've run wiring around to just about all the officers' tents have lights in them. The dog-faced PFCs are living out here in pup tents behind us, and they lead a pretty rough life, and I feel kind of sorry for them sometimes, but I guess that's just the way the cookie crumbles over here. Our water is quite drinkable. It's filtered through a very large purification system mounted on a truck, and it's taken out of a stream near here and then brought up here in large trucks on water carrying tanks on trucks. So we always have plenty of water available, although we hand carry it. And they also have some showers set up that run off of large pumps that suck the water right out of the stream, filter it, run it through some showers, and then pump it right back into the stream again. And we can go down and use those, or around the local area here, we have what are called Australian showers. All it is just kind of a little cloth water bag with a shower head on the bottom of it. And it holds about 3 gallons of water. And you just fill that thing up with water, and of course, the water's all sort of half warm around here anyway, so we'll never have to worry about whether it's warm or cold, it's just water. And you hang that thing up on a, we build some wooden stands, and you hang that thing up about 6 feet in the air and build a stand on it, and you stand there and take a shower. And they work quite well. It's amazing just how efficient they are, and I was amazed to find out that, by golly, you can take a shower with 3 gallons of water. And so, really, the living isn't too bad. They furnish all of our meals, of course, and believe me, the Army's good. I'm sure not going to lose weight out here. They just have very good food. It's all warm type meals, and they give you 2 or 3 vegetables, and usually pork chops or steak or something like that, and always plenty of good soft drinks, and we're eating real good. That's one of the morale builders out here. Also, over in Brigade Headquarters, we have our own little officers club in a tent over there, and they manage to get in a lot of nice ice cold beer every now and then, so that helps out a little bit too. So we're really in pretty good shape out here. It's not exactly roughing it as bad as we thought it might be. Although, if you first came in here and just took a look, it looked like we were living pretty cool. But once you get used to it, it's really not bad at all. Bugs aren't bad, the mosquitoes aren't very bad, although we all use mosquito nets anyway, because the ones that are here usually carry some form of malaria, and we have 3 types over here, and one of them they really haven't found a cure for it yet, so we don't like to take any chances. We also take our quinine pills every week, so they watch out for us pretty close. Sunday, I started flying, and I've been flying very steadily ever since, and it looks like I'm going to be getting all kinds of flying time. One day I got 7.5 hours, to give you an example. I am now a fully qualified combat ready type FAC, and I've already had a lot of interesting experiences, which I'll enumerate a few. One of the first things that I learned to do, I took an Army officer up with me, an artillery officer, and he taught me how to adjust the artillery. When they first, every day, or as often as they can at least, or especially when they move their artillery, they have to sight the guns in. This process is called registering the guns, and it's a very involved, rather complicated process, and unless you appreciate what they're doing and understand their terminology, why, you're going to get them all confused. Now, what we do is know where they're firing from, and then we go down in the area where they're firing to, and then we spot the rounds, and we try and keep track of where they hit, and when the round hits, then we call back to them and tell them in very particular language whether it was short or long or right or left and how many meters, and then they put in appropriate corrections until they get their guns zeroed in. They are very accurate, and once they get zeroed in, I've been real impressed with their firepower. They have 105mm howitzers, 155mm howitzers, and 8-inch howitzers. And believe me, these things make a big boom. In fact, one of them fired just a little bit ago, and you may hear one go off after a while. They fire a few rounds every night just to keep Charlie on his toes, and they call it H&I. It means harassment and interdiction. The Army's great for all these using all these abbreviations and symbols and stuff, so you'll hear me popping up when I'm here once in a while. Anyway, they're always trying to scare Charlie and keep him away so that he doesn't try and throw some mortars in on our brigade headquarters here, although he'd be pretty silly to get very close to here because there's, even though we have 3 battalions out in the field, away from our brigade headquarters, there's still probably better than 1,000 people right here at the brigade, and of course we all have our own gun plus all these artillery pieces, and we have a bunch of armed helicopters here too. So we're armed to the teeth, and it'd take more than a regiment to overrun us, and there's nothing like that around here right now as far as we know. The registering anyway was very interesting, and the Army Troop taught me a lot about artillery and showed me some of the things to watch out for and how to help them out. This is part of our job. We help register their guns every once in a while as part of our normal day-to-day flying. Another interesting project I got in on here a couple days ago, we put in some new LZs, or landing zones. They moved one of the battalions down to a new location down to the south of us, over towards Natrang. And in order to do this, they have to, when they move these troops down there, they have to secure an area first to make sure that the landing zone itself isn't booby-trapped due to a leak of intelligence. So what we do is what is called prepping the landing zone. And we do this with F-100s or F-4Cs or something like that. We bring them in, the facts do, and have them put some Mach 117s, which are our general purpose 750-pound bombs. We put those around the perimeter of this landing zone. Now, this serves two or three purposes. First of all, the shock of it will usually set off any mines that might have been put in the area where the choppers are going to land with all the troops. Also, if there are any Charlies around the perimeter waiting to set the choppers down, well, it'll also take care of them. And believe me, these 750s really make a big bang. I was at about 2,000 feet when I was directing this particular strike, and the shock wave from those bombs was actually moving my aircraft. I mean, physically giving a big shudder to the aircraft at 2,000 feet. So it's a real big bang, and it blows a real big hole, too. It just uproots trees and everything. Real impressive. And I was also very impressed with the 100's bombing accuracy. They did quite well, I'm happy to say, since we're always real proud when the Air Force does good work for us to show the Army. They did three landing zone preps that particular day, and it was a real full day and real interesting. We handled three different flights of F-100s, and they all did real good work for us. After dropping their 750-pounders, why, then we also had them come in and strafe the perimeters of the area also, and the ATI, or high explosive incendiary type ammunition that they use is real interesting, because as it hits on the ground, it explodes. That's an explosive type cartridge, and it looks like a bunch of little sparklers going on. Just kind of a little sprinkle of diamonds on the ground or something. It's real pretty, as a matter of fact, but it's not very pretty if you're down there with it. We call it ATI, and this is actually a form of 20 millimeter ammunition. And we call it 20 mic mic. You'll get used to all these things after a while. I keep talking to giving you all these things because you might as well learn the right terminology. I had to. A couple of days ago, I was scrambled out to my particular unit, which is the 502, which is located out in the west of here. The battalions themselves, you see, are out in the field on search and destroy operations, trying to find the Victor Charlie units. That's BC. And so they ran into a few VC out there, and they called me out to see if I could spot any of them also in case they wanted to bring in an airstrike. So it was real interesting. They had some helicopters, the gunships, the armed helicopters in the area, and they were using them to help out in the operation. We lost one man. In fact, he was the guy who stumbled onto the base camp in the first place, and the guard was so startling, he just aimed point blank and killed our lead man. But that was the only one they managed to get, although they did wound three others. It was a really interesting operation, watching them work on the ground, although I didn't do anything more than just observe in this particular situation, since the Army took care of itself pretty well. We had a little bad luck about 3 days ago. Some of the troops in my outfit were setting a grenade booby trap up in the mountains, and the thing went off on them, and it killed three of them and injured several others. Something like this is real grim, since it's bad enough having Charlie shoot you, but when you blow up yourself, that's even worse. But these guys seem to just take it on the chin and figure, well, you know, war is hell, and they press on. It's amazing sometimes how they bounce back. In fact, the more I work with these guys, the more I'm impressed with the dedication they have to the cause over here. They really, at least this outfit, is really going tooth and toenail to try and drive Charlie out of the woods and to smoke him out. And believe me, if you flew over this territory a little while, you'd see just how big a problem it really is. And some of these mountain areas, it's incredibly rugged, and the foliage is so thick that you can't see the ground at all. In fact, there are rivers there that you can't see. There are roads that you can't see. And it's just a tremendous problem. And down on the ground, it's just like you can't see 10 feet in front of your face. And a lot of times, they can't even find their own position, and I have to spot them and tell them where they are from the air. It's just how thick it is. And pile a little bad weather on top of that, and it's starting to become bad weather here now. As a matter of fact, because the monsoon season, the southwest monsoon, is about to start, and that means lots and lots of rain in our area, which is going to get messy. So that this becomes more of a problem as far as traveling is concerned up there in the mountains. And I really have to give them credit now. These guys really put out all the way. Today I got in another interesting type of mission that we do. We fly escort along whenever we have big convoys, and we were sending a pretty large convoy over to a little area called Banh Mi 2, which you might also notice on your map. It's over to the west of here. And we flew along ahead of the convoy and checked for any ambushes that might be laid out along the road, and also to see if there are any bridges that might have been blown up ahead of the convoy, any unusual gatherings of people along the road, things like this. So it apparently works, because we haven't had any convoys raided whenever a FAC was flying along beside them, and whenever they aren't, it seems like someone always takes a pot shot at the convoy. So they like to have us along, and it's interesting from our point of view too, so it works out both ways. We've got three airplanes assigned to us here, and it seems like one of them is always being broken down for something, so we're trying to keep them all flying, but usually we only have two of the three in operation at any one time. There are a total of six FACs here, so that means that we all fly usually once a day, or maybe once every other day, but it's been running once a day for most of us, so we're flying these airplanes pretty steady. We try and keep a FAC airborne just about all day long, so that in case anybody gets in trouble and has troops in conflict, why, we can be on the scene in a matter of just a few minutes in our local area. This helps the Army out, because we can get an airstrike in faster, and that's the whole idea of us being here, is to give them any support we can. So we try and give them all the help we can. Well, I see this tape is about to run out on this side, so I'll close off now and get ready to flip this dude over so you can use the other side.